Okay, since I was the only one that was thinking it was 8:30 and everyone showed up, it must actually be 8, right? Sorry about that. I'm Ty Hoffman, and this is Bio 107, Introduction to Biotechnology. And this is a kind of an unusual course in that you have the lecture and the lab both in the same room. You have, according to the schedule, you have a long drawn out. I mean, actually, it's scheduled as half and half, right? I think that's how what it implies in the when you actually sign up for it. It says that the lecture is from 8 to, what is it? 9 what? 8 to 9:15, and then like a 15-minute break, and then start the lab. And so the lab officially then goes from 9:30 to 10:45. Is that right? Okay. I don't really do that. I mean, I'm not going to have a lecture for that whole time and then actually break for 15 minutes and do nothing but lab from then on. We can do either one, lecture or lab, at any time. And there will be time, depending on what we're doing, there will be times when we just get out early, because we'll get both lecture and lab components done before that time. So that's the way they schedule it, but in here it's really just one big block of time from 8 to, at most, if we don't take that 15-minute break between, I guess that then at most that would be, 10:30? It's supposed to be 10:45, but if we don't break between the two, if we just go continuously, usually I will give you a short break for the tobacco addicts and whatnot. But anyway, that's how it's set up. It is lecture and lab, and usually I will do some sort of lecture first before we do the lab exercise, whatever that is. Now, today we'll get out early because we're not going to do much today, but go through the syllabus, do the lab safety song and dance, do a short slideshow, and then that'll be it for today. This is Monday, Wednesday only, right? So we'll get half of the week done pretty soon. Now, I noticed that many of you, which is good, have already signed the rules consent form. Is there anyone who hasn't even been to this website yet? Okay. Oh, a lot of you. Well, actually, No, you should have been directed there. So have you gone to Canvas? Is everyone familiar with Canvas by this point? What is this, only the second term we've used Canvas? Something like that? Does anyone think it sucks less than Blackboard? No one?
I actually haven't used Canvas yet.
Oh, you haven't used Canvas yet?
Only Summer did.
Yeah, only Summer did, but it's the new learning management system, and you should get in the habit every term of going on to whatever we're using. Canvas is what it is now, which is available to you as soon as you register, just to see whether there's anything that the instructor has posted for you to look at before coming to lab. And that includes mine, which was basically a link saying more or less Canvas sucks just as much as Blackboard does, in my opinion, so I'm not going to use Canvas for very much. Most of the materials for this website will be just hosted on my own Astraea space, which is what this website is. So the announcement you see on Canvas, if you haven't been there yet, basically says we're using Canvas very little. Go here and find your course, which of course is Bio 107 for this semester. So this is the official website. And you should bookmark that directly, because you shouldn't rely on going to Canvas to get that link, since Canvas probably is going to be down sometime during the semester. And just because it's quicker to go directly. But anyway, this is the official website, and therefore you need to go here often. You should check this thing once a day, really. even if nothing changes for a while, because there will be announcements here whenever they pop up, and those announcements are official, so they're, you need to pay attention to those. By the way, I'm going to pass around a sheet for you to sign in. Just because it's first week, we need to make sure everyone's registered and whatnot. You won't be doing this every time. Just your name is enough, as long as it's legible. The other reason that we're not going to be signing in every time from now on is that even though I made a bad impression with respect to this today, we're going to start exactly on time from now on. And I won't need you to sign in, because the first thing we're going to do every time from now on is a quiz. And you can't be late at all for those quizzes, or you'll lose points for that lateness. So show up early enough to not only be here at 8 o'clock ready to go, but already be settled down. Your stuff put away, ready to go for the quiz at 8. Yeah.
So every time you come in here, you have to wait?
Yes. From now on, not today. Well, no, just the days we're here, Mondays and Wednesdays. Yeah. Yeah, you have a quiz every time. And so that takes care of signing in, because I'll, you know, when you take the quiz, that serves as you being here. That means, obviously, that attendance is mandatory, because you can't afford to get zeros for those quizzes and survive mathematically. It's also important to be here, though, because this is largely a lab class. Even though I'm recording my lectures, all my lectures will be recorded, so you'll have access to those and the slideshows. You already have access to the slideshows, but you'll have access to the recordings. I think probably that will be no problem this term, getting those up right after I deliver them live. So before my next course, I have a gap. So those, if you don't see them within a couple hours of hearing them that day, feel free to email me, because that just means I've forgotten to upload them. Usually I don't forget, though. But anyway, back to what I was saying is that even though I'm recording these things, and technically you can recreate the experience at home by listening to the recordings while looking at the slideshows, that's not good. You should be here, and it's, like I said, it's not going to mathematically be possible to pass if you don't show up. So do that and be punctual. Now, what I usually do as far as this late penalty is concerned is reduce the score of the quiz by 10% for every minute or fraction of a minute that you're late. So you show up 1 second late, that's 10% off your quiz. A minute and 1 second, 20%, and so on. Which is a pretty strong deterrent, hopefully, for not being late. What I will probably do in practice is, if you're just a minute or two late, I'll write down that you're 2 minutes late, say, and therefore it could be 20% off, but if you get done before the last punctual person gets done with the quiz, then I probably will not take those 20% off. Okay? So if you come in 8 minutes late, that's 80% off, and you probably won't have time to finish it before the last person who came in on time can finish. Therefore, that's a big dent in your score. Okay, so quizzes is a major. I've never been in this room before, and already it sucks for the fact that the computer's over here and the screen's up there. But let's look at the syllabus. These quizzes are one source of points for you. You're also going to have activities to do that you'll have to hand in. Those are already online, but the activities that you have to write up have to do with the laboratory component. Your major, and so those are things that are just a few questions long each time. Those are usually no big deal for people. The major source of points, though, will be for the lecture exams. Under point distribution, you have exams, laboratory assignments, and quizzes. Now, the lecture exams, I would assume for most people in here, are going to be the hardest part to score well on. And unfortunately, those are also the most valuable things. So that means the hardest part of the course is also the one that contributes most to your final letter grade. But these lecture exams will be certainly made a lot easier if you do the right thing and study for it, in studying for them. And the right thing involves several things. I already have something online giving you five or six of what I think are the best ways to do well in this course. But it certainly is going to involve listening to these lectures. Now, the first time that when I deliver the lecture live, is this the last one? Everyone has signed this now? Okay, good deal. The first time when I'm speaking live during a lecture, definitely you should be taking notes. Is anyone here any sort of science major? Really? What kind?
Pre-med.
Oh, yeah? Okay, cool. Usually it's not. Like, as you see, most people are not science majors. So we're going to be covering some stuff that probably for you is going to seem a lot like a lot of review for parts of it. Others not. That's no problem, though. Listening to these lectures is important, though, because when I write my tests, those questions are going to be from what I say. Now, there is a textbook associated with this course, but really the textbook is only associated with the laboratory component of the course. And even though, yes, there will be some questions about stuff we do for the laboratory component, it's not the kind of stuff that you would be reading that book to study for. The main thing you're going to be using the textbook for, which I unfortunately forgot to bring. Anyone have it, by the way? Does anyone have the biotechnology book? Do you have it with you, I mean? Can you hold it up? Yeah, that's the right one. And I don't know how much they ream you for that.
$90.
$90?
That's on Amazon.
Oh, so that's cheaper. So they ream you even more if you get it through the... Well, get it for as cheaply as you can, certainly. It really is more of a lab manual than a textbook. But what I was trying to say a few minutes ago is that the questions having to do with laboratory exercises, questions on my lecture exams that have to do with the laboratory component, those are things that I'm also going to be talking about. So all the questions on my tests, which is a mixture of lecture and laboratory material, will be stuff that I talk about only. Whenever I write a test, I make sure that I don't include questions about stuff I never mentioned, even if it's in the textbook. In other words, I don't assign you to go read something that I never talk about and hold you accountable for that knowledge. It all comes from what I say, and that's why the lecture recordings are so important to doing well. Now, it takes some time to listen a second time to a lecture after you've sat through it. And I don't expect you to go home and immediately listen to it, but you're going to have to fairly soon because you're going to have a quiz about that stuff the next meeting. Okay, so you have a couple of days between Monday and Wednesday, and you have over the weekend for the Monday meeting. But you don't want to neglect this part of it. Sometime I'll be giving you quite a bit of detail, especially for a science class that's not actually for science majors. This is hopefully an enjoyable class. Do some kind of neat stuff in here. But it's also, there's a lot of information in here. You're going to be learning quite a bit of stuff that you might not actually be interested in if you're not a science major, but you still have to be tested on that stuff. And therefore, sometimes I'm going to be speaking during the lecture a little bit more quickly for you to be able, quickly than you can write. That's exactly what the recordings are for, though. So at home, follow along with what you wrote as your notes the first time around. And, you know, listen to the recordings while you're looking at the slideshow, which I'll make an effort to tell you which slide I'm on at all times. But make those notes a hell of a lot better at home while you're listening to the recordings. That's the way to do well. And then master those notes, because when you make notes about what I say, you're making sure that you're including only the information that you'll be tested on. You know, a textbook has a bunch of other stuff in it that I'm not going to mention. So master the notes and make good notes to begin with. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't write the type of test in which I just repeat exactly what I say. But it'll be topics I've talked about. Yes, definitely. Yeah, that's a good question. The quizzes are a little bit different from the... Just a little bit different, because I write both types of questions, obviously. The quiz questions, though, will be... First of all, a mixture of question types. They will... Let me say that they're not going to be a mixture. Quizzes will always be only about what we did the previous meeting. Okay, so it's not... I'm not going to ask you questions about what you're going to be doing that day, even though I do expect you to read ahead each time. The worst question you can ask when you come in is, what are we doing today? You need to already know what we're doing. You know, you don't have to memorize every procedure. That's what the book is there for. Bring the book to use kind of like a cookbook, because it's set up in recipe format telling you what to do at each step. I don't want you to memorize those things. I don't want you to know how many milliliters of some solution you're going to add. That's not what I mean. But read through it one time at least before you come in so that you can work efficiently, especially because you're going to be working in groups, and you're going to piss off your group members if you're the one that's just dead weight. So come in here knowing what you're going to do, basically, and it'll happen a lot more smoothly, and you can get out earlier. But as far as the quizzes are concerned, those quizzes are going to be about what we did the previous time. Now, that is a mixture of what I say during that previous lecture, but also what you did in the laboratory component. Almost every meeting has a laboratory component, not every. There's a couple scheduled ones, I think, in which all I do is lecture for the day. But usually we'll be doing at least one laboratory activity. And so you're largely on your own there. You know, I'll give you a lecture, then I'll say maybe one or two important things about the procedure that you wouldn't understand otherwise. But then I'll basically set you free as groups to do the stuff. Use your book, read through the steps, do them carefully. That means you're going to be responsible for that stuff that you do, even if I don't specifically talk about every little step. Okay, so that's a possibility on the quizzes as well. On the lecture exams, though, the questions that deal with the laboratory activities are going to be those are similar kinds of questions on the quizzes. And none of this is really going to make sense until you see the first question on Wednesday. So, speaking of which, since I'm all I'm talking about, according to the schedule that's up here today, lecture-wise, is tools of biotechnology. That's what the first quiz is going to be about. Now, do I have the point breakdown? I just say roughly half. Yeah, I can't give you exactly what the percentage of the final grade that the exams are, but it's about half, which means You can't just blow off the tests, obviously. Well, you would expect to not be able to blow off tests. But, you know, those are big batches of points. And we have, as you see there on the schedule, there are 5 exams. Now, the 5th one of these, which is the final, is not comprehensive. It's just the 5th exam. Yeah. You're only allowed to use your notes to prepare for the exams. You're not allowed to look at them during the lecture, no. So it's closed book, open mind test. The 5th one is not comprehensive, like I said, even though we hold it during finals week. And notice that on exam days, I've squeezed some stuff into the laboratory components of other days so that on the exam days, that's all we have to do. Which means you're not at all, you shouldn't be time stressed at all, because you're going to have the whole time if you really would need it to do that exam. But that also means as soon as you're done, you can leave on those days. And every exam is going to be entirely multiple choice. Every exam will be 50 questions as well. Now, a word about my exam, since you haven't seen any of them yet, is that even though they're all multiple choice, that doesn't mean they're easy. Some people kind of privately cheer when they hear multiple choice only, because at least you can guess, which is true. You can guess at a multiple choice. But depending on how they're written, multiple choice can be the hardest kind of questions. Well, when I write multiple choice questions, most of those questions on the test, each of which will have 4 answers, A, B, C, D. Most of those questions will have 3 absurd answers and only one that's even close to being correct. But the problem, and this is especially true in biology, the problem with that is that detecting which ones are absurd can be difficult because it relies on a lot of vocabulary knowledge. Biology has a hell of a lot of words in it, even biology at this level. So if you're not well versed in the vocabulary terms that I use, then you're not going to be able to, you know, they're just like foreign words to you, and therefore if one of those absurd answers is just a vocabulary word that you're required to know and you don't know it, you won't have any idea whether it completes the sentence or not. All right. So vocabulary is another really important way to study for this course. Know these technical terms before you come into the exam. And you'll know them because I'll be defining them throughout the course of the lectures. All right. So that's about half the grade, these 5 tests. Now, what else did I want to talk about? Usually students have basically the same sets of questions. They care about the grades, which is why I covered that first. What else do we have? My email address, obviously. I teach on multiple campuses, so I actually don't have defined office hours. Office hours, though, nowadays are getting to be kind of a thing of the past. I mean, they're scheduled still by a lot of people, but few students use office hours nowadays because everything is so easy to do electronically. Anyway, if you really want to sit down and meet with me, we'll have to figure out some time. That's why it's listed as by appointment. Talked about the website. Now, the required items include not only the textbook, but you have to have closed-toed shoes when you come here. And this time of year, when it's still hot, that can get you into trouble, because there's a tendency to show up with shoes that are not closed-toed. Well, that is a big deal to the safety folk who care about this thing in laboratories. And they're allowed to stop in anytime and give us a spot check, basically. So I cannot allow you to be in here unless you have closed-toed shoes. Which means if you forget them, you know, ideally just wear them. But if you want to bring them along, that's fine. If you forget them, though, you're going to have the choice of getting a 0 because you're going to have to leave, Are you going to have to wear a pair of shoes of shame that we have in the back for the duration in order to get your points? Okay, so don't do that. Don't forget about that. That I'll actually check your feet. Goggles and stuff we'll provide. So you don't go out and buy goggles. We have those. Gloves, everything else will be supplied. Now, attendants have talked about electronic devices is a big deal nowadays. So I don't want electronic devices out unless you're using them for note taking. You know, if you're texting friends, that's going to get you a zero for the day's quiz. So it's the same as not being here, which is why you should just not do that. The rules consent form I talked about when I first started talking today. I said that there are several of you who have already submitted that, which is good. Everyone has to submit it in order to stay in this class. So I'll withdraw you if I don't get that this week. And it's simple to do. It takes a couple minutes. Let me just show you what it's like. On my website, there's a rules consent link. And all you have to do is read the thing carefully and then fill it out. So it's nothing you have to bring in the hard copy of. Just electronically submit it. The thing that people get into trouble with on this is not bothering to actually read it. And I end up giving zeros to people every semester, literally every semester, because they don't carefully read it, even though that's the first thing on there. It tells you that you must read it. Nowadays, we tend to, anything that pops up on the computer, you just dismiss, right? You don't want to bother reading that whole thing. This is important. So do that, and do it today, ideally, if you haven't done it yet. But you'll probably say even more importantly from your point of view are the bonus points. And if you don't submit the bonus points form today, then you're not going to get as many points as you would. Today is the deadline for that. And those are entirely free points, so it would be ridiculous not to do that immediately. But every semester I have people that don't do that for some reason. Yeah.
What's the time deadline on that?
Midnight.
Right.
I don't like to use midnight as deadlines because midnight is ambiguous. Because midnight occurs between two dates. But midnight that's occurring tonight. anything I'm not that I haven't covered on the syllabus that you're curious about? Well, you'll need your books by Wednesday. And so there's no one who's checked at the bookstore for them? Do they have plenty? Did you get yours? You just checked on them. Okay. But they do have some.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. If they have some, it's very likely that they ordered enough. I just didn't want to hear that they have zero. So those should be available, and probably the thing that you're also interested in is this last thing, the grades. It's a straight scale, but it's a lowered straight scale. So notice that all you need is an 86 for an A. I do it this way because I've taught long enough that I know where the grades are going to fall out, basically. And so, you know, typically an A is 90. But I'm a little bit more detailed than most instructors, which means my exams are a little more difficult, I think, probably than most instructors, and therefore that makes up for it. You still end up getting the same number of A's as you would in any other instructor's course, but hopefully you'll learn a little more in the process. That's the rationale, at least. So everyone should be striving for 100%, of course, but if things get rough along the way, and you're worried about passing toward the end of the term, that 66% becomes very important at that point. All right, so your scores, which will appear on Canvas, it's one of the few things I use Canvas for, are your scores. I used to post scores on my website, And I liked being able to do that because I could post the entire class's scores sorted from high to low. And it would tell you where you are among the group, which I think is valuable information. But we're not allowed to do that anymore because of FERPA violations. So I can only give you your personal scores. And that has to be in a protected environment. So that will be probably what most of you use Canvas for the most, to go get your scores. All right? In that list of scores, though, will be some not actually scores, but values that will help you, hopefully, figure out where you are. So every time that you have some sort of assignment due, every time you get a score, every time it's updated, there will be a value in there that will tell you what the minimum is you need to get on everything else in order to get a C, minimum for a B, and minimum for an A. So you want to keep an eye on those scores throughout the term. Every time you get a score that's lower than one of those minima, say you're trying to achieve a B, if it says you need a, you know, it'll be 76 to begin with because we don't have any scores yet. If you get a 70 on the first thing, you haven't hit that 76 minimum. Therefore, the minimum you need on everything else is going to go up, right? In order for you to end up with a 76 average. Well, just like in baseball, with a batting average, it fluctuates wildly at the beginning of the season when there aren't many at-bats yet, or by analogy, not many scores. That's going to settle down, and it's going to be harder and harder mathematically to make your average go up or down. Of course, you're more concerned with it going up. But keep an eye on those rows in Canvas that'll tell you what you need from here on out. Okay? And if that score becomes an asterisk, or if it's blank, however it appears in Canvas, if it's no longer a number, that means it's mathematically impossible for you to get that grade. What you don't want to happen is have no number in all three spots, which means you're not even able to get a C, which means it would be mathematically impossible to pass at that point. If that happens, then I recommend withdrawing immediately, because getting 100 on everything remaining still wouldn't do the job, and you should spend your time on whatever other courses you have. Okay, now, is there anyone that's not yet registered? That takes care of itself pretty well nowadays because we no longer have any late registration. So everyone's on my roster. That's good. Anything that I haven't covered that you're curious about as far as how the course works? Nothing? Yeah. The URL is just estrellamountain.edu/Hoffman to get to the main one. So, if you just take off that, that's the main one, and from there you can always get the link to your course. But after Hoffman for this one, it's fall 2013, and then Biona 7. But that, like I say, you should have, everyone who is actually registered already has access to Canvas, to my course within Canvas, and therefore that automatically gives you a link to where this is. Have you been using Blackboard up to now, though, or have you not used any of them? Canvas is just another company's version of a learning management system, which Blackboard is. There are certain things that aren't too bad about it, but I don't like any learning management systems because they are so mouse intensive. I don't like to use the mouse any more than I have to because it's a waste of time. But anyway, I have to use it for the privacy issues. So you'll be going there for your scores, but you'll also be submitting some things depending on how I do this. So look for announcements on that. Always look for announcements on anything. That's why I need you to check that site every day. Okay, any other questions? All right, well, let's talk about science then, I guess.